Today we take a break from Acts. I know we've taken several breaks from Acts this last month or two as we looked at the feasts and the festivals. We're going to be in Romans 12 today as we look at our spiritual service. And we haven't all been called to serve in the military, but we all have, if we're a follower of Christ, we've been called to a spiritual service. And as you're turning there, and there's one thing I did miss on during the announcement time, is that Wednesday night, if you're on the ladies' Bible study, you know, you've been starting at 6, you will start at 6:30 this next week. So we're back into our co-ed study together. But a common term that we hear that when we're talking to our veterans or we're talking about the military, we very rarely do you hear, oh, were you in the military or this or that. We hear the word service. Were you in the service? Where did you serve? What branch did you serve in? And so the word service is one of the most common terms that we hear when it comes to the military. And the service, it comes because of the voluntary nature that is mostly with it. There have been drafts, of course, in our past, especially around Vietnam, but it's usually an act of service, an act of willingness to go and serve our country, and again take that oath to support and to defend our Constitution, to protect our country. Lieutenant General Doolittle, before the attack on Tokyo during World War II, said, "There is nothing stronger than the heart of a volunteer. Somebody who gives, somebody who supports a cause, somebody who loves their nation, somebody who, and may not realize how much they love their nation till they actually get in the service." I can remember just going through training, and I've shared this with some of y'all before, and having to do a flag ceremony, and there we are in our platoon, and we're, you know, with the rifles, and we go to salute arms, and then the flag is going up, the trumpet or the bugle is blowing, and it's just, it all made sense. You know, I'm doing it for our country, and it was a very emotional moment, as much as could be allowed in that moment. But it was patriotism. It was passion. It was love for a country, and not so much just a land, but of ideals and principles and people with faces, different ethnicities and races and colors. It was a people that it represented, and that we were willing to give all for, and that many of us are still willing to give all for. And we see that as followers of Christ, we have been called to be willing to give all because we serve one who did give all. And Jesus Christ, as we know, he said, and I believe it was John 15:16, he said, "I have not come to serve or to be served, but to serve." And so that's the example that we have in Jesus Christ as we look today at our spiritual service. If you'll join me, I'm going to read Romans 12. We're going to read verses 1 through the first part of 6. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly." Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we look at this word as this passage, Lord, written by your Apostle Paul, inspired by your Holy Spirit. Lord, what does it mean for us today, Lord, in 2016? And how, Lord, would you lead us, Father, to exercise our spiritual service? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we get to spiritual service and we get around the areas of spiritual gifts, I know the passage up there says read through verse 8, and you can read that. There's just examples of different gifts there. And we're like, okay, what does he want from us now? And it's not about what we want from us now. It is that we have been given, if we are truly followers of Christ, that we have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit has come a calling and has become a gifting. And what we see in verse 1 here, it says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies living in holy sacrifice, a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And so if you heard that, we have a spiritual service of worship. Now, what has happened so far, remember when we were in Acts 20, and Paul was in Corinth, we did study that. That was at the time that he wrote this book of Romans. And so up to this point, he's been talking about salvation, talking about how God's been awesome, how we've been grafted in with the Israelite people, about how it's about faith. And he has talked about the law. He's talked about so many things. And so now, because of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, that we are now his people, and we have been given a spiritual service. Now, if we were to read this in the translation, the word what we just read, it said spiritual service of worship. If you're following along in a New American Standard, that word service and worship are actually the same word. We've put a prepositional phrase there to help it make sense. And it literally, if we were to translate it word for word, it'd be more acceptable to God, this spiritual service of yours. The truth in there is that we all have a spiritual service. If we are followers of Christ, we have that. We have, I guess we could say, we've been voluntarily, invited into the family through the grace of God. But we have a spiritual service if God has called us to salvation. And we see in that prepositional phrase, and also in the definition of the word, that service is worship. We worship God through service. It's not just a mere song. A song is great. But when we exercise the calling that we've been given, when we exercise the gifting that we have been given, when we exercise it is worship. When we are serving, we are worshiping God. Number one, we're being obedient in that. And then we are fulfilling the function that He has for us, as we will see. But if you're following along and you're listening outline today, number one is our spiritual service is a result of God's mercy. If you have a spiritual service, if you are able to worship, if you are even to a place where you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, it is because of mercy. Because of grace, not because of anything you did, not because you stumbled into a church, not because of grandma took you somewhere on Easter or whatever. It's not about that. It's because sometime in your life, you remember that day when God, through His grace, through His mercy, reached into your life and opened up your eyes and let you see the truth of His love. We know in John 15:16, I just quoted that was wrong up there, and I have not come to be served, but to serve. That's actually John 13. But in John 15:16, it says, Christ said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Again, if we have a spiritual service, it's not because one day we decided to join the country club down at the corner with the steeple on top, and so now we're going to be good citizens in this community. No, it is because God chose us for whatever reason. His spiritual service is a result of God's mercy. Let's look at Ephesians. You can follow me there if you like. Ephesians 2. It's not going to be on the board, or you can write this down. Ephesians 2, and I'm going to skip around a few of these verses. This is an awesome book. It's actually a letter, and I encourage you sometimes just to sit down and read through some of the epistles, those that are written as letters, and read through them entirely. I mean, if you've been a veteran, you've been away, or you've received a letter from somebody, you don't ever just read the letter halfway. When Stephanie, when I was in Okinawa or different places, she'd write me a letter. I never read it until I just got tired. And then I folded it up, and I'll read some more maybe next week. No, you read the whole letter right there. Because why? Because she loved me. I was anticipating. I was hungry to hear from home. And so the same here is that Lord, what do you have for us? I anticipate that you have good things to say to me. And I just want to read about your love. And that's what these are, letters. And I encourage you to read all the way through them. But just some truth that we see in chapter 2, verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved." Grace, if you don't know what grace is you are receiving something you don't deserve. You're telling me, Pastor, I'm a Christian and I don't deserve it. I'm telling you that none of us deserve it. It is only by the grace and the love of God and by His mercy that He's looked into our darkness and He has called us out. Thank God that He's opened up our ears and our hearts and our minds, and that we have received that we have been saved. What does it say there, church? It says, through what? Faith. Through faith, and not that of yourselves. It says here in verse 8 that it is a gift of God. So if we can call ourselves followers of Christ today, it is because it's a gift of God and not anything that we have done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We can skip down to verse 12, and it says, remember that at that time, he's talking about a time of being lost, you were separate from Christ. There was a time we were all separate from Christ. And it says, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise. And then look at this, having no hope without God in the world. It is by God's mercy, because there was a time that we were without Christ and we had no hope. And then in verse 13, it says, but now Christ Jesus, you were formerly in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And then in verse 16, it talks about how we were reconciled to God through the cross. Oh, it is through His mercy. If we can say that we're followers of Christ, again, it's because of His mercy, because of His grace. We were saved through faith, and we were separate from God with no hope, but through the blood of Christ and the work on the cross that we have been saved. And as such, we have been all given a spirit of worship. Next, we see in verse 1 that our spiritual service is manifested or acted out in our daily lives. And look at what it said here. It says in the middle part of it, it says, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Now, what does this mean? We know in the Old Testament what it meant to be a sacrifice, and that wasn't a good thing. So how are we supposed to be a living and holy sacrifice in 2016? Well, what it's talking about is putting down your desires and your temptations and following Christ. I tell you, the way of God, the way of salvation, the way of the Word, the way the Holy Spirit leads us is much better than we could ever hope for or desire for ourselves. When we put our, what's talking about being a living sacrifice is putting all the energy that we have in seeking God each and every day, not just a Sunday, not a Wednesday night if you're among that, but it's in every day in the morning saying, good morning, Lord, here I am. What do you have for me? And when we go throughout the day and we're in those struggles and we have those temptations and things come against us, that we are in communication with God just as we would be with one another. Oh, we don't even need a smartphone to talk to God. We just say, oh, Lord, here we are. And we can pray about all things. And it should be manifested in our daily lives. I mean, being a follower of Christ is a daily adventure. It can be. You can be joyful one moment. You can be struggling in the next. I mean, it's just a reality of life. And we can talk to God about all these things. I tell you, anything. Listen, I mean, and just comparing it, this is Veterans Day, or we're celebrating Veterans Day. It's not actually until Friday. But anything less than excellence, or anything less than serving in your branch, wherever you used to be, or if you, that of a veteran that you may know, or that you are in now, is that anything else than giving your best each and every day brings shame and would bring discipline. Oh, how can we serve whether it be a career, whether it be the military, and we give so much to so many earthly temporary things, but when it comes to following Christ, we have many of us that are AWOL, that is absent without leave. The question is, have we ever been absent without leave? In the military and in your job and in your workplace, it is going to get you, again, fired, disciplined. In the military, it could even get you put in the brig. But what does it get you in the church? It gets you a postcard. Where have you been? And that's if you're lucky. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're talking about that we have a spiritual service that we just read that we've all been given to, that we've all been given if we are a follower of Christ. Next, our spiritual service calls us to three things. First, and we read verse 2, it says to be transformed. Our spiritual service calls us to be transformed. It's by God's mercies. It's manifested in our daily lives, and we see that our spiritual service calls us to be transformed. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. But it says right there, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. There is an expectation that when we become followers of Christ, that there is change. There is a renewal. Scripture even calls us in some places a new creation, that we are being transformed. We see that in our military too. What's the first thing? You go and you sign up at the recruiter, and just imagine if they said, okay, here's some uniforms and here's your gun and a backpack and go get them. No. It'd be a wreck. What do they do? They send you through a very intensive basic training time. Boot camp, basic training, whatever you may call it. Some things I shouldn't call it. Whether it's OCS. But what's the purpose? It's indoctrination to bring about change. Taking young men and young women, some of them just out of high school, just out of college, and transforming. Forming them to be to where now they can go and protect our country by operating million-dollar machines, about leading people into battle. You know the things that our armed forces are running towards are things that we are most likely programmed to run away from. And that's why these boot camps, these basic trainings, these OCSs, they bring change, they bring transformation. And if you fail in the transformation phase, well, guess what? Within the military personnel, they will fail later on in some way. There is no failure in boot camp in basic training. And there may be failure on an individual basis, but the military will always serve its purpose. And if it doesn't, it's like, okay, you're okay, no, you're out of there. You're cut, you're recycled, you're gone. There is expectation. And we see this truth same, and even in some of in the corporate world. We have something that in the church that's much like basic training, much like boot camp. It's called discipleship. We see that all through Scripture, but the reality is that that our culture today in our church is that we've forgotten that. We're more like the recruiter that says, hey, I'm glad you've joined. Here's you a backpack and an envelope, and come and just join the crowd every week. See you then. There's been no, or Scripture calls, again, discipleship, but what is it? It's mentoring. It's teaching other men. And then we even see in Scripture where Paul is telling Timothy, hey, go and find men who are able to teach and teach them, and then teach them to go do the same. There is this transformation, this expectation, where it's nothing like boot camp, praise the Lord, but it is an expectation and where we're passing down the things of Christ to new believers. We have a spiritual service, and most of us have not had that training. We've had the spiritual transformation as the Holy Spirit has come into our lives, but for whatever reason, it is not being implemented or being exercised. Maybe because we haven't made it to the second one, is to be unified. Be unified. Again, as you're writing that, imagine the excellence of each branch. I mean, we can sit around and we can give each other a hard time about the Marines are better than the Army, and Army's better than Air Force better than Coast Guard's better than Navy, and Navy's better than, and the Navy's the one that gives the Marine Corps the ride, and all that kind. I mean, we can do all that, but the reality is they're all excellence. Why? Because they all have a certain mission that they need to fulfill. They all have a different mission, and they will complete that mission. And they will complete it with all costs, and it will be done with excellence. But guess what? The church has a mission. It has a mission. It is all throughout Scripture. And it is not to go blow people up or to protect the Constitution, but it is to tell the world about Christ and to stand against the things that the enemy in this world has come against us in so many ways. To stand against that in prayer. To be found faithful in sharing our testimony and to reaching out to others. It's a boldness. It requires courage. Where people look at what it takes to be a Christian, that's just a crutch. Yeah, stand up and try to do it. And the reality is our church doesn't, or the church generally, Christians in our culture and in our time, are not found faithful with the mission. And a lot of it is because they have not gone through this beginning, this transformation period of discipleship, of transformation. We need to re-implement the transformation process called discipleship in the church today. But moving on to point B. So in our spiritual service calls us to be transformed, as we just read in verse 2, and it calls us to be unified. And read verse 3 and 5. Through five, it says, "For through grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself." Listen to the individuality that's in this and what he's saying about it. "Then he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." You see the unity in this? It's getting past the individuality of who we are. Oh, I don't like church because of that, or I don't like this because of that, or I don't like that flavor or that color or this, that person or that person. Why? Because it's all about us. If you've ever been to boot camp or basic training, probably there's some time in your experience that they broke you down. And maybe they even took all your stuff and everybody else's stuff and they scattered it all over. Are they doing that stuff to be mean? Well, partly, it seems, but the reality is they're breaking you down and making you realize that it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about the individual. It's about the mission. It's about what needs to be done. It's about the unit. I mean, think about the things that we see in the military. We see crews. We see teams. We see battalions. We see platoons. We everything is a group, and the relationships that are built in that is usually because you're counting on this person on this side who's counting on you as well, and you're counting on this person also. There's expectations. It's a coming together. When you're in these unit type events, individuals are dangerous. But guess what? When you get into the church, which is a family, which is a group, and we've read in different, we can keep on reading in chapter 12 here, or we can go to 1 Corinthians 12, and we see that the church is a body, that we are one, we're supposed to be unified together, and that we all have different abilities and different strengths, and we're all supposed to be exercising those, and when we don't, the church suffers, the mission suffers. Well, in the Marine Corps, the individual would suffer in physical ways. And we can't do that in the church, even though sometimes, never. No. What do we see in John 17? I say this at least once a month. I go to that verse where Jesus is praying. There is power and unity. Because when we are one with each other as His church, then we are one with Christ, who is one with God. And when we all become one with God, the impossible literally becomes possible. We read it in Scripture. Look it up. Our spiritual service is called to become unified, to be as one in Christ. There is no room for us thinking, as we just read, of being more holy than what we really are. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about us, and it's about the mission that we find in Jesus Christ. Again, unity is important for the mission. Unity is important for survival, especially in the military. And unity here is true spiritually for the mission that God has given us. We have a mission, and it is more than gathering as a holy convocation on Sunday mornings. It is a mission to go out. And we brings us to the next part, to be functional. Our spiritual service calls us to be transformed, to be unified, and to be functional. What happens in our military? After their boot camp, after basic training, after OCS, they're usually sent to some sort of training that gives them an MOS, or at least that's what it was called in the Marine Corps, a military occupational specialty. And for those of us who haven't been in the military, that's a J-O-B, a job. And it's given a function. You know, not many Rambos really exist. I know Rambo can do it all. Guess what? A Rambo in the church, though, can bring destruction and can bring harm. We need to come together. And somebody's out there thinking, well, Rambo brought destruction and harm, too. That's what I'm saying. It's not a good thing, though, in the church. But verse 4, what we just read in verse 4, it implies function. And now let's read verse 6 together. Let's go to verse 4 just because I mentioned it. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function. So it's being implied here that we all have a function. You have a function in the kingdom of God. And since we have gifts, it calls us gifts here, that differ according to grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And it goes through and it talks about many different gifts, and we have other areas that we can find these gifts, but we see that this gift or this function or this ability, again, it's not because of who we are, it's because of the Holy Spirit that comes in us, and it's called a gift of the Spirit, not a gift that you discovered or a talent you have, but the Holy Spirit wants to work through you, and it's a result of grace. You get it, it's all as a result of grace. And then it is intended, as we just read in verse 6, it is intended to be exercised. Again, God has given gifts to the church. And it's not just things like people. It's not a check that came in the mail. It's not something that was wrapped up with a bow. It is in the form of spiritual abilities that you have. You are the gift to the church. You have the gifts. And it is role to be faithful and seek how to implement and exercise those gifts that God has given us. It requires faithfulness. You're like, well, Pastor, I didn't... You know, I joined the church, but not to do all that other stuff. Well, John 15:16, what we just read a little while ago, it says, where Christ says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And listen to what else he says. And appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. Now, we've studied that before. Jesus does not care about you bringing an apple to church. But what he does care about is that you doing a work in such a way to where your spiritual gift, when you exercise it in faith, that there is a time that it is useful in somebody's lives. Well, what are the spiritual gifts? In Galatians 5, it's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, things such as those. And then we go into 2 Peter 1 and we read things about faith and moral excellence. And I'm going to mess this up, moral excellence and virtue and brotherly kindness and love. And we do these things and we get down to verse 8 in 2 Peter verse 1. And it says, do these things and you will not be rendered useless. Who wants to be useless? That's not my words. 2 Peter 1:8. I hear pages flipping. Did he really say that? It says that, yeah, if you're not exercising the gift that God has given you, if you are not serving according to your spiritual calling, if there are not things growing, the things of the Holy Spirit and the things of God that are growing in your life and in our church and in our body, then it renders us useless. Pastor, people called me useless before, and it was just not a nice outcome. Friend, then don't be useless. Seek the Lord. Human psychology would show, and we've heard it, and friends, I'm just sharing truth. And usually that's an excuse to be rude, and that's not what I intended. Human psychology is that 10 to 20% of the people in volunteer or organizations usually do 100% of the work. That's true in the church, it's true in Boy Scouts, true in Girl Scouts, true in Salvation Army, true in all these type of things. But guess what? God's Word says that 100% of us have a function. And it's a gift that edifies the church. And what does that mean? Does that mean we're all supposed to teach Sunday school? Absolutely not. There's some of y'all that it's just not your gift. And so, no, and I think that's what I'm getting. Whenever we talk about people serving in the church, people are thinking about, okay, I got to like clean the bathrooms, or I got to bring a pie, or I got to teach Sunday school. No, there's so much more to it. But the church, it has a mission that's so much more than just the Sunday morning event. It is more than just somebody picking up the offering. It's more than just coming together. It's more than just holding a candle on Christmas Eve. It is a salvation of the lost. That's our mission. People are dying. In our military, people are literally dying, but in our world, there are people that are spiritually dying, and the instruments of grace that God has released on this world, He has given it a name, the church. And as long as we dress nice and we have flowers, then it's all good, friends. He doesn't care about our flowers. He doesn't care about what you're wearing. I care that you're at least wearing something. But it's so much more than that. It requires courage. What do you mean it requires courage? So y'all all leave here and go to Walmart and in the parking lot, stop somebody and share the gospel with them and share your testimony. I dare you. You'll be shaking in your boots. You won't know what to say. You've heard it for 20 years from 20 different pastors, and you've heard the gospel, you read it in there, and you know you're supposed to do it. But if you're challenged to go out there, we just ask questions. The church committee went out last spring, and we just went to Publix and to Winn-Dixie and to Walmart, and we just said, hey, what do you think? We didn't even tell them we were from a church, and we were going to talk to them. We're shaking in our boots. Yeah, because, oh, they're a bunch of freaks. Well, maybe so, but still, God loves you. Requires courage. Many of us would jump off a tower and rappel before we would share the gospel. Many of us would stand on a base plate as the first mortar round is going down, knowing that thing could jump or just blow you to bits before we would go share the gospel. Many of us would crawl through barbed wire before we'll go share the gospel. It requires courage to be a Christian. I dare you to try it. I have gone over barbed wire. I've laid on barbed wire while men have run across my back. And I tell you what, it was easier to lay on the barbed wire while those men ran across my back in the mud than it is to go out and look at somebody in the face and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have been called to a holy service. All of us, every single one of us, if we are a follower of Christ. Again, consider just a military. I mean, we're always talking about going out. When it comes to serving the church, we always talk about, we think about doing stuff in this building and on this property. The reality, if you consider a Marine battalion, and I only talk about Marines because that's my experience, okay? I haven't been in the other, so I don't know how they're set up. I imagine it's very similar. But you have the headquarters, which is, we call them pogues. If you were like in headquarters and I didn't mean to hurt your feelings there, but we just called them office pogues. And so they would meet. They're headquarters, they're doing dispersing, they're doing medical things, they're doing the business part of it. And then you had the weapons company that was serving, and then you had the other infantry units that were actually going out. The mission was going out, but guess what? The guys that going out couldn't do it if the people weren't doing their jobs on the inside, in the headquarters part. And that is exactly how the church is. is that we do have work that needs to be done. We have work, the people that need to be equipped here. We have Sunday school classes that need to be taught. We have different things that need to be going on, Bible studies that need to be led, and not just in this church. I would rather see them starting in your homes. And we need to start be doing different things. Why? So people can be equipped and go out. The thing is, we're not going through the equipping, and so there aren't very many people going out, and when they do go out, they struggle, and they fail. Oh, we need people in headquarters, but we need more people going out. Ah, you have a gift. You have a gift. You are needed. You are essential. You are important. You have the Holy Spirit that was there at creation, that was, the creation went through it. You have Jesus Christ and His blood that has washed you clean. You are important, you are essential, and we cannot do it without you. We can't do it without you. We cannot do it without you. Again, in the military, you go AWOL, you go to the brig, or you get dishonorable discharge, which is even worse. There's accountability. There's accountability in every part of your life. Even with Gulf Power, there's accountability that you will pay by this time or your lights are going to go out. There's accountability, but then we don't see the accountability, though, when it comes to the things that really matter for all eternity. We don't have it in the church. What do we have, though? We have more human psychology. Let's hang stuff pretty on the walls. Let's wear a tie. Why? Let's have flowers. Let's have, you know, matching this and matching that and make sure it's pretty, make sure it's this or that. But what we don't have is accountability. So what we have is a bunch of stuff that doesn't matter. But what is Romans? You can write these down. We're not going to go to them. Romans 14:12, it essentially says you need to account for yourself. Where are you? Where is your walk today? Where are you in Christ? Are you even saved, or are you just here for whatever reason and you have been coming, but you're beginning to realize that there's something lacking in your life? And we keep talking about grace and mercy and Christ and the blood and the cross and salvation. And you realize, hey, that's not me yet. Or maybe that is you, and you realize, hey, He's talking to me again, and I wish He wouldn't talk about these things. I'm telling you, every one of you have a spiritual gift. The reality is true. The human psychology is evident here, that 10 to 20% of the people that call themselves members of Perdita Bay Baptist Church and those that come through us, that only 10 to 20% are active in something. And unfortunately, we have people that are active in places that they shouldn't be active in because people aren't stepping up. You are essential. Will you account for yourself? Where is your walk? When's the last time you read the Bible on your own? And the last time you said, you know, Lord, here I am, and you prayed? When's the last time, men, that you prayed with your families? When's the last time you prayed for your child? When's the last time you've confessed your sin? Romans 14 suggests you account for yourself. Hebrews 13, 17, it pretty much says that the pastor is accountable for your soul. That's a heavy verse. Man, I wrestle with that all the time. I'm accountable for your soul, and we can't get half the people here but once every third Sunday. I'm accountable for their souls is what Scripture says. So as somebody being accountable for your soul, I'm telling you, Jesus loves you. God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. And only through faith in Jesus Christ can you have eternal life. And also you have been given a spiritual gift if you are a follower of Christ. And you are in sin. You are in sin. 80%, 80 to 85% of Perdita Bay Baptist Church, we are in sin because we are not implementing the spiritual gift that we have. It's a reality. It's truth. Not my opinion. It's in Scripture. I just shared it with you. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 2, Matthew 18, 15, James and following, James 5, 16, and Proverbs 27, 17, those were all would suggest that we are accountable to one another. I mean, we're not supposed to just walk in and say, hey, brother and sister so-and-so, this has been an awesome day in the Lord. That's, come on. Really? Let's get real with each other. Isn't that how it is? Oh, I'm just blessed to be here. Glory to God. Come on. No, I'm struggling. I can't make my bills. I'm hurting. A family member died. Or, hey, maybe things are great. Things are really good because this happened. You know, my daughter surprised us. She came home this weekend. I mean, it's just an exciting weekend. We had this. We learned we're going to have a grandson. I mean, things are awesome when we share life with one another. Hey, will you pray for me here? I'm looking for a job. Will you pray for me because I'm having this struggle? Will you pray for me because this or that? Or hey, where have you been? We haven't seen you in 6 months. Well, I just, you know, just been kind of sick and only had time to go to Walmart on Sunday morning and didn't have time to go to church. You know, call them out. Hey, why? Because it matters. It matters. Do that in your job. You're going to get fired. Do that in the Marine Corps. You're going to get thrown in the brig. You're going to be kicked out. You're going to be given this piece of paper that's going to be like a red A on your life. It's going to mark you forever. It's going to dishonor you forever. You do this stuff in life, and there's accountability. You do it in the Marine Corps. I tell you what's happening. You're going to have some NCOs come in your room, and they're going to whoop you and say, get on there. Why? Because it matters. Because if you screw up out there, people are going to die. But we do in the church, we come in the church and we're like, woohoo, glory to God, where's the flowers when they're not right in the center and they're not where they're supposed to be and this or that, the chairs are crooked. Forget it. People are dying. Why? Because 85% of us aren't stepping up and because the other 15% are stepping up in places that they shouldn't be because the other 85% won't step up. We got a spiritual service. We got work to do, not because your pastor said it, because it's in the Word of God. It's real. It's real. It's real. You know, we're making some pretty big steps. You'll learn about it in the business meeting next week. We're taking some pretty big, bold steps. And I tell you what, if our folks don't step up, there ain't no reason to take them. There ain't no reason to take them. We don't have time for spiritual patty cake. We don't. You might have time for that. We don't have time for that. There are people that are spiritually dead. And if we don't do our part, if you don't do your part, nobody's going to come knock on your door and whoop your tail like they would in the Marines. But what is going to happen is people are going to go on through life and they're going to miss out on whatever blessing God has for them through you. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. I mean, praise God for His grace, because I don't think He's going to let that person go because we've become useless. Pastor, you said that again. It's true, friend. Read it. 2 Peter 1. Read it yourself. Do these things so you don't become useless. It says it there, just like that. I don't know what it says in Greek. It doesn't matter. It means the same thing. Friend, if you're not stepping up, it's sin. If you're not stepping up, you're a stumbling block to the church. If you're not stepping up, you're a stumbling block to the mission of this church. And that's the reality. As Rhonda and Tim are coming, I've said more than I intended to say, but it's true. I'm thankful for our armed forces. I'm thankful for our airmen, for our soldiers, for our coasties, for our Marines, for our sailors, for our National Guardsmen, for their spouses, for their families. I thank you for your excellence. For those of you that serve and serve and faithfully, I thank you. Maybe you're there, you know, Pastor, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm relating to, I want to serve. I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't know what to do. Number one, pray. We need to talk to somebody about your spiritual gift. There's different, you know, we can look at Scripture. You'll know from your own personality. There's some other spiritual gift tests that some people like to use and that have value. Assess your spiritual gift in some way. Mentoring. Maybe you need a mentor. Maybe you got saved and just nobody's connected with you and you don't know what all this junk means. Maybe you need to sit down with somebody and you can work through some time. Mentoring, it's biblical. It's essential. Maybe you just need to step out in faith. You know what you're supposed to be doing. Just do it. Maybe you're like one of those, like I can remember when I was a young adult and I was in the church and, you know, if I saw a bunch of people moving chairs, well, I could figure that out. We need to move chairs. And so I'd jump in and I'd help and I'd move chairs. But when it came to doing ministry and exercising my spiritual gift, and not trying to be false, humble or whatever, I just didn't feel like it was my right to step in there and say, hey, I would like to help in this. And I didn't know how to do that. I was introverted. And I was introverted. And you know, come and talk to me. But you say, well, nobody's asked me. I'm asking you now. We need your help. Do you know one of the, we're going to be one of our goals. We're not going to meet for 2016. And you, I've shared the goals in business meetings and shared with them. Is one of the things we wanted to do is establish a ministry to the military. That is the only goal. And knowing that it wouldn't be fully established in the first year. It takes time. I mean, establishing a ministry, you need a leadership team, you need a mission, you need a direction. That is the only goal that I'm aware of today that we will not be successful at in 2016, is establishing a military ministry. I need help in that. There's other things that we need, from social media to Sunday school, to all kinds of stuff. Well, maybe we don't have what you feel like you need to do, then let's start it. You're here for a reason. You have a gift for a reason. Let's start it. Well, what if we mess up? Well, then we'll write down what went well, what didn't go well, and we'll try it again. But Pastor, it's never been done before. I don't care. Thank God. Because a lot of the things we've done in the past just are bogus. And we need something new. We need something new. It's time to step up. It's time to step up. We all have been called to a spiritual service.